From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, September 22nd, 2009. Each week, this podcast explores news and trends related to all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
This past week's big news was Descartes' announcement of support for the crowdsourced OpenStreetMap geographic database across its product line. What does that mean for other companies in the mapping tool space, the data space, and for end users of these products? We'll have a look after a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. Improve the performance of your web maps and make your authoritative data more broadly available with ArcGIS 931. For more information, visit www.esri.com/what's new.
Now, the announcement came from Descartes at the end of last week, and they announced a beta program which would make the OpenStreetMap content for selected cities around the world available now, and then there'll be a full product release in October that will support the entire OpenStreetMap database. And the idea is to support this across all of Descartes' tools, the ones that are used to build applications on the web, the ones that are used to build applications for handheld devices. For those who aren't familiar with OpenStreetMap, that effort was founded in 2004 and has had quite a jump in participation of people adding data to it. Over the last 12-month period, the number of registered users tripled to over 160,000. And the number of GPS track points uploaded by users grew to over a million. And the dataset has over 23 million kilometers of road information, making it the largest public domain mapping database in the world. And certainly, OpenStreetMap has gotten a lot of attention of late, especially after Google announced its MapMaker tools, which encourage people in specific countries to start creating data sets for those countries for Google. Now, this is a really interesting announcement, and it can be looked at from a number of different perspectives. I think the first thing that we need to note is that while it sounds like Descartes is making these huge strides forward and doing something very forward-thinking and supporting of new visions of how data is made and shared, in point of fact, there was really no skin off Descartes' nose to do this. They're not a data company. They're a technology, a tools company. So they never made any money off of the data sets that their customers used. And in fact, in an interview with GPS Business News, President and CEO Kim Fennell made that very clear. And I quote, "Our business model remains the same. We're not a map reseller. In many cases, our customers have their own direct deal with the map suppliers. Our business is to provide value-added services on top of the map data, whether this data is free or licensed to Navtech, Telia, Atlas, or others, is the same thing for us," unquote. So in that sense, it wasn't a big deal. Is that the way you see it as well?
Yeah, what Descartes is trying to do is just open up their toolbox to whatever street centerline or data type is available to them. So certainly a good move on their part. And with the growth of OSM, you have to say that data set is only going to continue to grow and will probably encourage other commercial companies to use OSM as well. So I think it's kind of the toe in the water by a commercial company to use OSM, and it's likely we'll see other announcements from other commercial companies that'll use the street centerline database.
I think you're exactly right, and I think it's going to become, in a sense, expected that any set of tools you use is going to be able to take advantage of OpenStreetMap. And that sort of pushes forward the question, is Descartes going to get more customers in the short term just because it supports OpenStreetMap?
Well, I don't necessarily see that. Somebody's still going to have to market the streets and the validity of those streets. I think anybody who's taking a look at OSM at the accuracy, I think they'll be quite amazed that it's a very good piece of data. And now with so many more people contributing, you got to wonder that it's turning into an excellent source, and I can only see it getting better.
I think it's interesting that there have been quite a number of open source, especially open source tools, that already allow you to switch back and forth between different background data sets, be they from Google or Microsoft or OSM or NASA and so forth. So this is really just, as you say, a toe in the water now of commercial companies looking to do that same kind of thing. One of the analogies for this move might be in exploring third-party developers that develop on top of platforms like AutoCAD and ArcInfo. Those developers typically sell a solution on top of that core product. So the total price is the price of the core product plus the price of the add-on. And when you turn around and bring that to a customer, the number may be quite high, say $10,000. However, if the software developer decides instead to use a lower cost or even an open source or a free platform, that may drop the final cost to the end user to $4,000, say. Now, the money coming into the third-party developer is the same because the underlying platform money doesn't go to them anyway. And I'm wondering if that kind of analogy may push developers to look at an OSM-based solution as opposed to a Navtech or TeleAtlas solution, which they'd have to charge far more money for.
Well, I think that's a good point, and I think that could be a likely scenario that would develop in this kind of competitive environment. I think that's a very good analogy, and I think it's likely to happen. I think the other issue that could come up is the licensing issues that you may get with a commercial street centerline product are often quite complicated. So from the standpoint of price and licensing, this is a competitive situation.
Right, and it also does raise the challenge of the other major players in this space, the Nokias and the TomToms, which own Navtech and TeleAtlas. One of the complaints when the new TomTom application came out for the iPhone was that it was really, really expensive. And people said it was really, really expensive because they had to license the data from TeleAtlas, which they own, so they could, I suppose, do whatever they want. But that does open the door for some other possibilities, where again, then that licensing fee goes away and can potentially drop the price down.
What you could rightfully ask at this point is street centerline information becoming commodity? And what does that do to the business models of the Navtechs and the TeleAtlases? And when you put that on the table, if it's a good navigable database to device makers or to cell phone manufacturers who are issuing navigation applications, what does that do? You know, what would, if you don't have to license the data anymore and you get a good street centerline map, the price of that app goes to the cost of development or whatever the app developer wants to charge for.
So is street centerline data a commodity?
Well, I think it's becoming a commodity. I think the issue here is other attribution on the network, whether it's navigable, and whether the companies like Navtech and TeleAtlas view themselves as just a street centerline provider, or they look at themselves as an information source provider, a data provider. So I have often asked that question of people at both companies, how do you look at yourself? Well, they certainly can't look at themselves anymore as just a street centerline data provider. Those days are gone. And if you look at the acquisitions that Navtech has made with real-time traffic data, with other data sources, I think that they've probably gotten the message that street centerlines are becoming a commodity, and this is just one other piece of information that's kind of solidifying that point of view.
I think that's true, and I think just the fact that you see the Navtech and the TeleAtlas vans driving around, and they're just, while they are in fact updating their street centerline information, they're also doing things like scanning buildings and taking photographs of street furniture like signs. So they're really trying to make their databases robust with far more information than maybe is in an OSM at this point. Now, another way to look at this change is to look at it in the context of the relationship between geographic information technology and geographic data. Now, if you spin back to the beginning of GIS, back in the early days, it was very common to buy your software and your data from the same provider. In fact, many of the providers, MapInfo and Strategic Mapping for Two, had their own data products. MapInfo still does. And that's how you did it. And that has slowly been changing, and those two parts have been splitting off. And that, of course, has some pros and cons. Certainly for anybody new trying to build off of these platforms, they have to learn all about the different data sets and which one to choose and manage the licensing, as you pointed out. That makes it a little bit more challenging. On the other hand, it does provide an awful lot more options and potentially some significantly different pricing models.
Yeah, so it certainly is a different environment in which you get your data right now, and we're going to continue to see this kind of specialization. I think what OSM has done has taken a slice of the data market, in this case Street Centerline, and really made it one of those things which I don't think a lot of people expected to see. I think for a long time people thought, well, I'm either just going to go to Navtech or TeleAtlas, and those are going to be my data suppliers. I think this kind of took a lot of people by surprise. I don't necessarily see that happening in other data markets like demographic data, other than if you wanted to go to the Census Bureau, you can get some things. But what the commercial value-added players have done in the demographic data market is massage the data in such a way that makes it a little bit more palatable for end users. In the case of OSM, you're kind of getting more or less bare bones. What they do to the data in the future maybe is the bigger question. But I think you're going to continue to see this market bifurcation and specialization.
Well, I think specialization is really the right term here, because what we're finding now are more niche data providers focusing on very thin slices of information, the neighborhoods data providers. There's a handful of them. They all do it a little bit differently, but they're the only ones who do it, right? So that's a great example. And what that means, and this is, I think, something that Dekarta is prepared for, is its users are going to be layering data from many different providers. So you might use the OSM street map, but you still might go to Navtech or TeleAtlas for other layers to put on top of that. And then you may go to an urban mapping or a Maponics to put some neighborhood or other specialized data on there. That's a very interesting way of looking at it as well.
Well, now you just raised two separate issues, which is one is if for the device providers, if you're going to a navigation device, in a car or handheld, it's going to be the onus is going to be on those providers to kind of gather all that data into a central repository so they can make it available to their end user. Second, from the kind of more professional geospatial technology user, now you've entered the realm of the cloud environment. How am I going to get all of these different data sources into my project to use? And is the cloud computing environment the best one to use? And I'm suggesting that it probably is. It kind of reinforces the fact that there's going to be a lot of noise in the market here, a lot of ways to purchase your services, and this is going to put some pressure, or at least some added work on the part of the professional end user to gather all these sources, because you can't get it from one place anymore.
Now, the last thing I want to do in our discussion is to sort of look ahead as to what might happen because of this announcement from Dekarta about using OpenStreetMap. And the one thing that popped into my mind, which I think is, I really like this scenario and I hope it happens, what I really want to see is if the third-party developers do choose the Dekarta platform, and then they choose to build on OpenStreetMap, will they build into their applications the ability for the end users to provide updates to OpenStreetMap? And it could be simple things like they do with TomTom MapShare now, like saying, well, it says the road is one way this way, but it's really one way that way. Or it could be something as complicated as actually laying down new tracks as people drive, for example, in their cars or ride their bikes and so forth. That could take OpenStreetMap from where it is, which, as you point out, is farther along than anybody may have imagined, up to the next level. And that to me is really exciting.
Because of, I think, the success of the MapShare program, that's probably a likely possibility, at least for some percentage of the users. I hope it happens, too. I think that's the realm we're entering right now, and it'd be only good things for OSM to have that happen.
Do you want to make any other predictions or hopes about what may come out of this announcement?
The only thing I could say is, I'm just so impressed with the quality of OpenStreetMap at this point. So my prediction is that's going to put pressure on the commercial vendors, and it's going to make people who are end users, even in the professional geospatial community, take a second look.
Well, that's all the time we have today. Before we go, our sponsor, ESRI, would like to invite you to share your GIS story at the 2010 ESRI International User Conference. Submit an abstract describing your experiences and successes with GIS applications by October 16th, 2009. For more information, visit www.esri.com/UC. If you'd like to comment on today's podcast or anything else, you can reach us at editors@directionsmag.com. or you can leave a comment at All Points Blog or Directions Magazine.
We'll be continuing this conversation about OpenStreetMap as we're going to have Steve Coase, the founder of OpenStreetMap, at the Location Intelligence Conference 2009 that's coming up October 5th to the 7th in Westminster, Colorado. We'll hope you'll join us for that. You can find out more details about how to register at locationintelligence.net. We also will have the CEO of AND Mapping, Martin Oldenhoff.
Thanks for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.